Praise God. We want to thank you all again for being here at Oasis Christian Center on Sunday morning service. And I'll invite all of you to just join in for what God has for you today, because God's got good news, doesn't he?
Amen.
His word is good news.
Amen.
Praise God. I want to ask you also, before I turn it over to Pastor, those that are watching by Facebook, if during the service you would just send us comments of how God is blessing you and how this ministry is blessing you also. And if you would, we would ask you to share this service with your friends on Facebook, if you will.
Amen.
And at this time, I'll turn it over to Pastor.
Well, y'all know what time it is. It is neighbor looking time. I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to smile at your neighbor. I want you to point at your neighbor. And I want you to say, I came
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare
I'm ready.
Are you ready
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare
I'll never ever
be the same
again.
In Jesus' name.
Glory
to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
I'm gonna get you to just stay up here one more second. And this has been going so good here lately. I've asked y'all to pray for us, and I'm actually giving y'all a prayer, and we're just saying it. Y'all are saying it after me. And I tell you, I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And when y'all are holding your hands out this way, I feel the impartation mm-hmm. of the power of that prayer.
That's right.
Well, the prayers, I know they're doing it online, and they're also doing it here in the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to just
Amen.
Ask, if you will, hold out your hands toward us, and let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father,
in the name of Jesus,
we plead the blood
of Jesus
over Pastor Rock
and Pastor Sharon,
and we declare
that they have
strong utterance and strong anointing,
and we declare
we are hungry
for the word of God
this day.
So we make a strong
drawing
on the anointing of God.
We declare
we receive
answers in your presence this day.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. The title of the message today, I ask you, the title is In Heaven, What's in Your Book? So, and the scripture reading today is going to start in Colossians 3, starting verse number 1 and 2. Colossians 3. 1 and 2, this is in King James. If you then being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. In Colossians 3, 1 and 2 again, in the Living Bible, since you became alive again, so to speak, when Christ arose from the dead, now set your sights on the rich treasures and joys of heaven, where He sits beside God in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about things down here. Now, the first thing is, I've got a question for you today. Ask yourself, what things are the most important in my life today? Are the things of God or eternal things the most important things in my life? Or is something else most important in my life? Now, let me give you a hypothetical today. If somebody saw a video of our lives, and let's just say they could review our life for the last year, every second, every minute of the last year of our life, and we're just going to believe it'll be in God's time. They could just see it just really quick. Now, what would they think? Would they think that God was a main priority, or would it be our house? Or would it be our car? Or would it be our yard? Or would it be recreation? Or would they recognize right away from looking at that video that God was our top priority in our life? What if they looked at your checkbook? Would they see God is the first priority in your life? Or would they think God is way down the list? Or that God didn't even make the list? We think wrongly things, natural things, are more important than spiritual things. new cars are nice, new houses are nice, new clothes are nice. God wants us to have and enjoy nice things. But the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God. So those are blessings from God. But they're not more important than God in our lives. Now, I'm going to give you an illustration that I've given to the church body here many times. But it was really on my heart strong, and I have a reason for giving it this morning. My dad keeps popping up in the illustrations for some reason, and I'm just going to go with the Holy Spirit. But I remember when my dad died, that was about 38 years ago, and I remember I was pretty shook up at that time. And I remember I was leaving our house, and my mom and my aunt were there, and as I was leaving the house, I really wasn't paying attention. I was just in a fog, and I backed up rather quickly, and I didn't look behind me, and my aunt had a brand new Lincoln Continental. She just bought it, and she had it parked right behind me, and I smashed it. I smashed it good, and I went in the house. I was shook up about it too, and it seems like a lot of times one thing will happen, and then a bunch of other things will happen, and it just seems like it kind of piles on you. And I walked in the house, and I told my mom and my aunt about it. And my mom, the first words out of her mouth, "Don't worry about it." I don't know if she said, "Don't worry about it, baby," or "Don't worry about it." Something to that effect. It's not important. Now, my dad had just died, and we knew that things like that were not really important at that moment. I'm not saying they don't have a place in our lives and God doesn't, you know, bless us with wonderfully good things. He does. But I'm saying that wasn't the most important thing. You understand? But now, my aunt, this was her brand new car. And she did have a different perspective. She was pretty upset that I had just smashed into her Lincoln, brand new. And as we all would be. I would have been upset, you know, in another situation, another circumstance. We all would be. So she didn't share mine and my mom's enlightened perspective about "don't worry about it." So we had her car fixed and everything worked out and it was all good. But me and my mom were looking at things from an eternal perspective. My mom didn't sweat the small stuff. Now let me say something. Car accidents, that's the small stuff. Now hang on, let me qualify that. If you or your loved ones didn't get hurt, that is the small stuff. What's all this drama about a car accident that somebody didn't get hurt? It's ridiculous. We're focusing on something, a car that can be repaired or replaced, but we're not looking at it from an eternal perspective. In the vast scheme of things, a busted car is not much. In the light of eternity, things look different. Now, there was this man, his name is Jim Woodford. He was on the 700 Club and he was on It's Supernatural, and you can find him on YouTube. And he was giving his testimony about he never thought about eternal things. He wasn't interested in things of God. He didn't think that he needed God. And he just lived his life for material things and making money. And his wife was a good Christian woman. She had prayed for him and prayed for him for years and years. And then one day, he got very sick. And this deadly disease got on him, and it attacked his nervous system. And so he was in tremendous pain all the time. And they gave him prescription drugs and stuff like that, and it wouldn't touch the pain, but this went on for years and years. And one day, unintentionally, he overdosed on the prescription drugs. He was taking too many to try to get relief from the pain. When he realized what he had done, he cried out to God for forgiveness and for help. They took him to the hospital. And during their ordeal, God was talking to him and showing him things. And he said he experienced, he saw a vision of hell and he saw a vision of heaven. And the Lord's taking him and showing him all these different things. And one thing he said in heaven that really stuck out to me was he was shown a book about his life. Now, remember, he lived his life all for himself. Everything was about himself. He didn't live his life for God. And he said the angel got out the book of his life and gave it to the Lord. Now, this is, I understand some people may not agree with this or whatever, but I'm going to give you some scriptures that'll line up with what he's saying. But the angel got the book out and gave it to the Lord. He said the book was just like a cafe menu, a little bitty diner menu. There's nothing in his book. I mean, it's just so, there's nothing there. He said he's even embarrassed to tell about this part of the story today because it just, he realized he had wasted his life with natural things. Now, he got the revelation that we all have a book and things we do for God are recorded. God had mercy on him and sent him back and told him to tell everybody about his experience. He said now he's working on filling up his book with things he has done for God's kingdom because now his focus is completely different. Everything in his life is about God. He's focusing on those things that are eternal. Now, let me give you another illustration. There's a pastor that I believe his name is Pastor Chan, and he gave this illustration online. It's on YouTube. You can pull it up. If I can link it, I'll link it to this today. But he took a rope and stretched it across his sanctuary in his church. And he said, now, I want you to imagine this rope is circling the earth over and over and over and over. And he said, now, he's holding the rope. And there's a little bitty portion of that rope, about this much of the whole rope, and it's in red. He said, now, the rope is eternity. It's just going and going and going and going. He said, in this little red spot, that's our life. He said, we focus all of it on the little bitty portion of our life that's lived here. But we don't focus on the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years that are going to be living in eternity with the Lord or living in eternity in hell. I want my life to count for something in eternity. In Revelation 20 and 12, I'm going to give you some scriptures that I believe kind of line up with exactly what this man was saying. Revelation 20 and 12 in the Living Bible says, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before God, and the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the things written in the books, each according to the deeds he had done. In Malachi 3 and 16 in the Good News Translation, then the people who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard what they said. In His presence there was written down in a book a record of those who feared the Lord and respected Him. Psalms 56 and verse number 8 in the Living Bible, you have seen me tossing and turning through the night. You have collected all my tears and preserved them in your bottle. You have recorded every one of them in your book. So, everything we do for God is recorded in a book. I personally believe that the angels of God are writing it down. When we pray, it goes into the book. When we give, it goes into the book. When we serve God with our gifts and talents, it goes into the book. When we serve God by serving others, it goes into the book. Matthew 6, 19 through 21, this is English Standard Version. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, there isn't an eternal account in heaven with our name on it. Everything we do for God's kingdom gets recorded in that book. Your secret acts of kindness are being recorded in the book. You took care of someone else, it's being recorded in the book. Maybe you're sowing secret prayers into someone else's life right now and they have no idea you're praying for them. Your prayers have an eternal value. They'll be in your book. There was this is a true story. There was this multimillionaire and he bought land for this particular church. And he paid for the land, and then he paid for their church to be built. He built the church out of his own money. And there was another man, he was a minister, and the Lord revealed to him, he was a prophet, and the Lord revealed to him and showed him about this man, this particular millionaire. And God told him, the kingdom of God will be reaping a harvest for over 100 years because of what that man did. People will still be getting saved and touched years after he's gone. His book will still have things being recorded in it years and years later. See, We need to dedicate our lives to His purpose and His plan. You and I have an eternal purpose, but we might waste so much of our lives on soulish things. We don't give enough of our time for eternal things. See, the things that we sow into the kingdom of God, they're eternal. They have lasting value. Your faithfulness and obedience in little things, they'll be written in your book. Everything that we do for God is recorded in the book. Now, I'll give you one more illustration. This happened years and years ago at the church, this church. There was a man that called me years ago, and he told me he had a bag of money for the church. Now, let me pause right there and tell you, first of all, that was a very good day. And second of all, any time that you want to call and you know you've got a bag of money that you want to bring by the church, even if it's not Ish's regular working hours, Ish will make arrangements for you to come and receive the bag of money, and we can put it in the general fund of the church. Just for your edification and knowledge of what we'll do. But this man said that God spoke to him and told him to dig it up. He had this money, this bag of money buried in his yard. And God said, dig that money up and go give it to the church. Now, he dug it up and he discovered that the money was being destroyed. It was rotting. It wasn't from moth and rust like the Bible says. It was from water and mildew. Even though he had it in a plastic bag, there was still water and mildew getting in it, and it was destroying the money. If he hadn't obeyed God, that money would have been completely worthless. He gave it to the church and told us to use it where it was needed. Now, and he also instructed us, don't let anyone know that he had done it. Now, that money, once he gave it, had eternal value. It is written in his book in heaven. Now, I'll be honest with you. The first thing that I wanted to do with the money, I like for things to go in the general fund a lot of times. We have these other funds, and I thank God for these other funds, and I thank God for everybody giving to them. The church runs off the general fund. So even if we got a lot of money in another fund, if we have not enough money in the general fund, the church is struggling. So I was going to put it in the church general fund because that's where I do when somebody tells me that instruction. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and He said, that's not what I want you to do with this money. And I said, okay, what do you want me to do? And there was a couple that we had been counseling with about their finances. And he said, give that money to that couple because they're really trying really hard. This was a large sum of money. And I said, okay. And the couple was, you know, it really put them on a different level. It helped them. They were struggling to get things right in their financial lives, and it really put them on an even keel. It really helped them a lot. And that was God that did that. That was an eternal thing. If that man hadn't obeyed, that couple couldn't have been blessed. But if that man hadn't been obedient, that money would have been wasted. It would have been completely gone another few months, and it would have been no good at all to anyone. But he got an eternal, when he gets to heaven, he'll get a reward for it. I'm sure he's going to get a reward for it down here too. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, and I'm going to call Pastor Sharon at this time. In King James, it says, well, we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. But the things which are seen are temporary, subject to change. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And again, the same scripture I brought out in the very beginning, Colossians 3 and 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And one other little statement. I don't want to get to heaven and find out there's nothing in my book. I want to do things for God and not for myself. I want my life to count for something in eternity. Don't you? Amen. So I have one more question for you, and then it's Pastor Sharon. So in heaven, what's in your book?
Praise the Lord. That was so good. Amen. So awesome. God is good to us, isn't He? Praise the Lord. So continuing on with Pastor's message this morning, I'm talking about, and Pastor was talking about rewards. You know, we're going to have get rewards when we go to heaven. And, you know, we all like rewards, don't we? You know, we like gifts and we like surprises and all those things that it's good, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. It's good. It's fun. And we love it. But, you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to receive rewards that are so spectacular, so awesome, so wonderful, so grand. Rewards that our minds, our little finite minds, I guess I could say, cannot even imagine the things that we are going to receive because of the rewards that Jesus is going to be given to us. Paul kind of sums this up in the Word in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, "But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." So there are things that are prepared for us. You know, we can think of some really grand things, can't we? We know when the Bible says that there's a mansion prepared for us, we try to imagine that mansion, don't we? And we try to imagine how that mansion is furnished. But even as big as we can think or imagine, it's even greater than that, even grander than that. Amen? So we'll receive rewards when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 14 and 10 says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we all shall stand at the judgment seat of Christ." And then 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, and this is in the New International Version, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things we done while in the body, whether good or bad." So what we will be judge, and we will be awarded according to how we use the gifts and the callings that God has given to us, that the Lord has given to us. And so, you know, we have got rewards. Jesus loves to give out rewards. You know, we like to reward our children, don't we? We like to surprise them with gifts and stuff like that. And even my dogs, you know, I love my dogs. Y'all know that. They love it when we come home with a little stuffed animal or something. They are excited, believe me. They know it's for them. And so we're going to be excited when we get to heaven, amen? We're going to be so excited just to be in heaven, just to know that, you know, the graciousness of God has been on our life, that we have gone to heaven. But then Jesus is going to give out rewards, and how exciting. We're going to say, "Wow, thank you, Jesus, for giving that to me. Praise God. This is awesome, beyond my imagination. I could never have thought of anything so great as this reward. Thank you for this gift." Amen. But we're going to be judged and rewarded according to how we use the gifts and callings that the Lord has given us. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25, and starting with verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Now, Jesus has delivered some goods to us. Amen? "And unto one he gave 5 talents, or rewards, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." He didn't do what the Lord had given him. He did not do what he was supposed to do with that. He hid his talents. He hid his gifts. He hid his calling. And so, verse 20, "And he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." I love God's multiplication, don't you? Amen. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So this servant, he gave what he had. He used what the Lord had given him. Amen. And so he was given more. He was given even more because he had been faithful to use that what God had given him. And so the Lord says, I will make you ruler over many things. We can't imagine, you know, we're going to rule over some things in heaven. Yeah. Isn't that good news this morning? Yeah. Amen. And then he says, enter in thou into the joy of the Lord. That is going to be a joyous day, isn't it? Amen. Can you imagine that big old convertible car that you've been imagining in your mind that you're going to get one day? Amen. When we get to heaven, we're going to get that reward. Jesus is going to hand out that reward and say, this is what you deserve. This is in a gift to you because of what you've done for me on earth. Amen. And we are going to be so joyful. We're going to be so excited. Amen. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Praise God. He was a faithful servant. Then verse 22 says, he also that had two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is mine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him that give, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. So the Lord has given us different gifts and different talents and different callings. But what have we done with those gifts and talents and callings that the Lord has given us? And we'll be judged according to that. And we'll be rewarded according to what we did with those things here on earth. Amen. So, you know, the Lord is gracious. He loves to give gifts. He is a good gift giver. Amen. He wants to give us great rewards. And, you know, he notices everything that we do. He records everything. And he notices even from the biggest things to the smallest things. He notices those things that we do for him. Mark 9:41 says, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. For even the littlest thing as giving a cup of water in his name, he did it for the Lord. He did it for Jesus. So the littlest thing that you do for the Lord, you will not lose your reward. You will receive your reward in heaven. Amen. Jesus is so loving, so gracious, so good. He loves to give us rewards. Praise God. Amen. Now, I heard a testimony, a man that gave his testimony about a vision that he had had. And he said that it actually started out as a dream. He went to bed that night, and it started out as a dream, and then it went into a vision. He didn't really know how to explain it, and I guess we wouldn't, would we? But all he knows is that He was in this vision, and he saw that he was kneeling before the Lord. And the Lord said to him, you're saved, but your life was wasted. Now, that's not something we want to hear, is it? Now, this man was actually a young pastor. And he had been living for the Lord for about 6 or 7 years. And you know, he said that when the Lord said that, he started thinking in his mind. He said he didn't dare say out loud, but he's thinking in his mind, you've got the wrong person. There's been a mistake. And he said that something rose up on the inside of him. Of course, the Spirit of God on the inside rose up on the inside and said, it is impossible to manipulate the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never be able to change his mind about what he has evaluated. You know, a lot of times we want to manipulate and act a certain way here on earth. Well, Jesus knows the heart. He's going to judge the heart. He's going to judge the motive, amen, behind everything that we do. And so this man said, you know, he was panic-stricken when he realized, you know, he's not going to be able to change Jesus' mind. You know, what it is what it is, amen? And so he was panic-stricken, and he said he began to cry out. He began to say, God, Lord, can I have another chance? Can I have another chance at life? And, you know, of course, he said, then a scripture rose up on the inside of him, and it said, you know, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And he said he knew, you know, he knew in his heart, you know, that he had messed up, in other words. But he said he felt so much regret, and he was felt so much remorse that he began to weep and he began to sob. And he was like wrenched, just wrenched with sorrow in his heart until his shirt, he was crying so until his shirt was wet with tears. And so then he said that he came out of the vision, and he was no longer in his bed. He was kneeling. He was standing a few feet away from his bed, and he was kneeling, and his shirt was wet with tears. His t-shirt was soaked with tears. But he said that he was so brokenhearted and so sorrowful. And, you know, he just couldn't understand why the Lord showed him that. And so he began asking the Lord, God, why did you show me this? This was just the most terrible experience I've ever had. It was just horrible. And the Lord said, because I want you to live in such a way that you won't have those regrets on that day. You won't have that sorrow. Amen. And he said he realized, when the Lord told him that, he said he realized that the most horrible experience that he had ever gone through was the most wonderful thing that the Lord had ever done for him, because he was able now to change things. Amen. And he didn't go into what those things were. And that's none of our business, is it? Amen. That's between him and God. And our lives are between us and God. It's not for anybody else to know or to judge, amen, but it's between us and the Lord. But you know, our goal in life should be to be well-pleasing to the Lord, amen. It should be, our goal should be to do for the Lord here on earth. And we should live our lives with eternity in mind. You know, we only have a short space of time to live here on earth. You know, when you're, we think, you know, through our life that, you know, this is just going to last forever. But, you know, we know it's not going to last forever. You know, you might get 70, 80, 90 years. I have heard of some people living to 100. But, you know, they still feel like, you know, this is not long enough. This has not been very long at all. And so James 4:14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So we just have a short time here on earth. You know, and the Lord has blessed us so greatly, so mightily. We can't, you know, we kind of just put it out of our mind and take it for granted. We take every day of our lives for granted. But, you know, we need to realize, you know, we are here on this earth for a purpose. We have a mission. You know, we are to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to help people here on this earth, amen. We are to use the gifts, and we are to use the calling that God has called on our life. Called us to. All of us have a calling here on earth. There's not one person that is born on this earth that does not have a calling from God, amen, and that God has not given us gifts, each and every one of us. God has gifted us with things. And you know, have you ever seen somebody that's kind of the opposite of you and you thought, I wish I had that gift. I wish I could do that. God gave that to them, but God gave you gifts too that they don't have. So, you know, we can't judge anybody else. We can't compare ourselves with anybody else. God has made you unique. He has made you who He wanted you to be. Amen. He created you to be who He wanted you to be. And so we need to just flow with that. You know, just flow with what God has given us. Flow with what God has blessed us with. Flow with who God has called us to be. Amen. So I want to leave this question with you this morning as I close out. I ask Deborah to be coming up if she will, and Pastor. But I want to leave us, all of us, myself included, all of us with this question. What will you do with what God has given you? Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's good, isn't
Amen.
He?
Amen. Amen.
He's a good God. Did you have anything, Pastor? Mm-hmm. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, Lord God. Let this word go deep into our hearts today, Father God. And let us not just take this life for granted. Let us not take each day for granted. But let us live our lives, Father God, in a way that is pleasing to you, Father God, that we will use the gifts and the talents and the calling that you have given us, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, that you are a God of rewards, Father God. You are a rewarder of those, Father God, who diligently seek you. And let us diligently seek you every day of our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And if you don't know this Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, and you'd like to invite Him into your heart, it's very easy. You know, man likes, we tend to complicate things, mm-hmm. but it's not hard, it's not complicated to ask the Lord into your heart, and it's not hard or complicated to live for the Lord.
Amen.
It is the greatest thing that you can ever do. It is the most wonderful life. You might think that you've had fun in the past, you've enjoyed things in the past, but you've never had fun, and you never enjoyed life, and you have never had peace like you will have after you ask the Lord Jesus into your heart.
Amen.
So if you want to ask Him into your heart this morning, we ask you to just bow your heads and pray this prayer with us today. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I ask you to forgive me of my sins.
I ask you to forgive me of my sins.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
And be my Lord and Savior.
And be my Lord and Savior.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with us, we would love to hear from you. So if you'll just send us a comment saying, yes, I prayed with you today, and I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, we would love to hear from you. Thank you so
Amen.
Much.
Amen.
Deborah.